सूर्यमात्मानं महिमा देवी रत्नस्य विष्णो रूपं Vishnu is Brahma, Amrita, Ritu, Supreme Brahman, and origin of everything auspicious and inauspicious. He is situated in the heart of everyone, including one of them, you know. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. People are almost blind because of the lust of desires. They are recommended to worship the demigods who have their material desires fulfilled, but actually those desires are not fulfilled by the material demigods. Whatever the demigods do is done with the sanction of Lord Vishnu. People who are too lusty worship various demigods instead of worshiping Lord Vishnu. The super soul of all living entities, but all the ways of Lord Vishnu they worship because he is the super soul. Okay, longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence and bravery are naturally and equally manifest. And all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Lakshadweep. Lakshadweep, surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice, equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there's another island, Salmaliweepa, twice as broad as Lakshadweep, and surrounded by equally broad body of water called Sura Sagar, the ocean that tastes like liquor. On Salmaliweepa, there is a Salmali tree from which the island takes its name. That tree is as broad and tall as the Plaksha tree, in other words, 100 yojanas as broad and 1,100 yojanas as tall. Buddha scholars say this gigantic tree is the residence of Garuda, the king of the birds, and the carrier of Lord Vishnu. And that tree Garuda offers Vishnu his amazing prayers. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata named Yajnabahu, the master of Salmaliweepa, divided the island into seven tracts of land, which he gave to his seven sons. The names of those divisions, which correspond to the names of the sons, are Sarochana, Samanasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Parivajra, Apyayana, and Abhijata. In those tracts of land, there are seven mountains, Swarasa, Shaptashringa, Vamadeva, Putramukunda, Pushpavarsha, and Sahasrasruti. There are seven rivers, Anumati, Sini, Vali, Saraswati, Puhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Raka. They are still existing. Strictly following the cult of Varnashram Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands, who are known as Rutidharas, Viryadharas, Vasundharas, and Ishandharas, all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of God named Soma, the moon god. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights known as Sukla and Krishna for the distribution of food grains to the beings and demigods. The demigods of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all the residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and our guide. We offer him our respectful obeisances. Outside the ocean of liquor is another island known as Kushadweep, which is 800,000 yojanas wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. As Salmaliweepa is surrounded by an ocean, a liquor ocean, Kushadweep is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee as broad as the island itself. On Kushadweep there are clumps of kusa grass from which the island takes its name. This kusa grass, which is created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames, its young shoots illuminate all directions. The report from the description of this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames on the moon. Like the sun, the moon must also be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. The flames on the moon, however, unlike those of the sun, must be mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted in the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, the Rishna Chakravarti Thakur says, the kusa grass illuminates all directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. Okay, now the son of Maharaj Priyavrata, Hiranyareka, is the king of this island. He divided into seven parts so that he delivered to his seven sons according to the rights of inheritance. The king then retired from family life and engaged in austerities. The names of those sons are Vasu, Vasudhana, Kajidaruchi, Srutyavrata, Namigupta, Vivekta, and Vamadeva. In those seven islands, there are seven boundary mountains known as Chakra, Chatrasinga, Tapila, Chitrakut, Devanika, Purva, Roma, and Ramya. There are seven rivers also known as Ramakulya, Mahakulya, Mitravinda, Srutavinda, Devagarva, Grita Chuta, and Matramala. The inhabitants of the island of Kusadeva are celebrated as Kushalas, Kovidas, abhyogas and kulakas. They are like the Brahman Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, effectively. By bathing in the waters of those rivers, they all become purified. They are expert in performing rituals and ceremonies according to the orders of the Vedic scriptures. Thus, they worship the Lord in his aspect as the demigod of fire. Okay. So, here we have a description of, first of all, the Plakshadweep, which is the second Dweepa, and they worship the sun. Then there is an ocean of liquor. Then there's another island, Samalika. And there they worship the moon. And then there is another ocean of ghee. And then there's another island, this is Kushadweepa. There they worship fire. So, in this way, and each one is twice as wide as the last one, so we get a huge expanse, ultimately, of these islands and oceans. So they worship these different devatas, sun god, moon god, fire god, and others later. So, Prabhupada here explains that the sun gods are worshipped, or these different gods are worshipped, devatas are worshipped as expansions of the Lord. And of course, in the second canto, in other places, it mentions the devatas and the great sages and the monks are the bhutis of the Lord. They represent the Supreme Lord and they're given certain powers. Just like we have Shaktivesh avatars, who are eternally empowered by the Supreme Lord. We have the bhutis, who are not eternally empowered, but temporarily empowered in a particular post. So the demigods have a post for 71 yuga cycles, and then they leave their post, etc. So, but they are given certain powers by the Supreme Lord. So these devatas are representatives of the Supreme Lord in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There, Krishna speaks of his vibhutis. Various things in this material world represent the Supreme Lord. So, the devatas are some of these vibhutis. So in that sense, they are worshipable as the Lord because they represent him. At the same time, we also understand that they are not devata worshippers in the sense that they're worshipping devatas to get material benedictions from them and thinking of them independent of the Lord, because here it says, this is Vishnu. Form of Vishnu, this is their prayer. We take shelter of Surya, who is a form of Vishnu. So, therefore, they understand that he is an expansion or an empowered entity by the grace of Vishnu. We can also, of course, speculate that this again is representative of the planets in relation to the Earth, the geocentric conception of Earth. So here we have the sun revolving around, we have the moon revolving around, and fire, of course, represents Mars. And of course, we have other planets like Mercury and Jupiter and Saturn, other rings. So it is well known, of course, that fire and Mars are related to the deity of Mars. Fire, and then we have the moon god here, we have the sun god here, so we have right there planets related to these islands also. So, as I mentioned the other day, Sada Buddha had speculated that these also represent the orbits in relation to the Earth. So, here's one sort of confirmation that they loosely conform to that, that these different orbits are like the orbits of the planets in relation to the Earth. They're all the way around. These, as we see, these different dvipas are divided up into parts. The sons, Priyavrata took charge of each of the islands, and then they had sons, and they had seven sons each, and so there are seven provinces in these different islands, and there's seven mountain ranges, and seven rivers, etc. And there's four castes of people called by different names, but equivalent to Brahma structures, Vaishnava sutras. So these places are inhabited also. They have particular persons there. And they have their own activities and worship, etc. And they are worshipping these particular deities in these different places. So here the Lord is described, actually Surya is described here. But Surya is ultimately, like all the other devatas, are representatives of the Supreme Lord. So primarily the qualities that are seen in different devatas are ultimately the qualities of the Lord. And secondarily, they're qualities of devatas or anybody else. So in other words, all qualities reside in the Supreme Lord. And if we see good qualities in anything else, that is simply a reflection of those qualities of the Lord. So here the qualities are praised. So he is called Brahman, he is called Satya, Ritasya, Amrita, Mrityu. So these are qualities of sun, but they are actually qualities of Vishnu. So the sun is there, and actually it's a form of Vishnu who has these qualities. So he is eternal, in charge of liberation and death or bondage of the material and living entities, Amrita and Mrityu. So this is ultimately the Lord, it's not the Son, it's the Supreme Lord that is responsible for bondage and liberation of the jivas. He's addressed as Brahman. So Brahman comes from the root Ra, which means Brihati, to expand and to cause expansion. So one who is, or one who has great, infinite expanding qualities, he is called Brahman. So, of course, many people have good qualities or have greatness, but the ultimate great person is the Supreme Lord again. So therefore, Brahman should apply primarily to the Supreme Lord and secondarily to another living entity. So that's why we call the living entity Atma Brahman sometimes, because secondarily has some qualities. But the primary meaning is the Supreme Lord. So, Satya also is the name of the Supreme Lord. Satyam Anantam Brahma. So in the Upanishads, the Lord is often called Satyam, which means, of course, the existing one, the first existing person, or the primary existing person. In this way, the Vishnu is described by these different terms, which show his supreme position. And the Son, we can say, is not different from him in the sense that he follows his orders. So, the inhabitants of this island worship the Son as a representative of the Supreme Lord. And then in the other islands also, then we get the people in the moon planet worshipping the Supreme Lord also with their prayers. And then we have the people on the next island, Kusadvip, worshipping the Lord as fire in their particular place. So, though they're worshipping devatas, they're worshipping them as representatives of the Supreme Lord. So, in this way, we have the different dvipas we're actually described here.
All this worship is indirect.
Well, yeah, in one sense. But there, behind it, see that here it actually is not so indirect because they have the name of Vishnu right there. We're worshipping you as a representative of the Vishnu who is cause of liberation, etc. So they understand the thing. So, as I said, the because these could represent the orbits of the planets, therefore, these particular deities are prominent, but nevertheless, they realize, people here realize these are only representatives of the Supreme Lord. That's all. Well, because they see the Supreme Lord. They recognize the Supreme Lord. They get liberation.
There are
many Brahmas. Demigods also are many, or there only one universe? Well, there's only one Brahma in one universe. Different universes are different Brahmas. Not in one universe at one time, only at one Indra. But throughout the day of Brahma, 14 times Indra changes in one day. And that's similarly the other David does. So they take the pulse of the Devata. In that sense, yes. But then, of course, that you would have to take the solar system as the universe, kind of, or that plane as the universe. Of course, you could extend beyond that and take the whole universe itself, not just our solar system, and go beyond our thing and take the whole the thing also as the universe. But technically, of course, it's, we get up to these dvipas that we're describing, that's a solar orbit, so it only goes to our solar system. Some devotees will say, well, look, that doesn't look right. So they'll attack that theory on that ground. But Sariputta's reply to that is that this is not an absolute description of everything. He says various descriptions are mingled in. So this is one description here, and then we have a description of the Jambudvipa as actually the earth as we know it, with the different mountain ranges and stuff like that. So you have the Himalayas and you have and roughly divide up the places that are on Jambudvipa, and you can actually get a configuration of India and above India with that. So that's another way of looking at it. So, in other words, he says there are various interpretations mingled into this Puranic description. This description, of course, is different from the description given by astronomers. As I said very early, they also said, yeah, the whole Earth is spherical. And they made their calculations based on that, which is much easier, of course. So some astronomers already very, a few thousand years ago had discovered that the Earth was spherical. So there are different conceptions of the universe also. So this is the general Puranic one. But within that, then we have various layers of meaning, let's say. So, of course, if one wants to strictly apply scriptures, that everything must be literally interpreted, then of course we're stuck because we can't really explain modern things. If we have some liberal interpretation, then we can say various things about it.
But this description only for this plane, which would not be the
universe. Well, we could extend it to the universe, but that would make the universe a little smaller compared to modern calculations at least. And then of course outside that we got the shell. But they're in modern theory, they don't have a shell or whatever, and there's no shell outside the solar system also of the different elements. So that's another thing. And of course, then where's the water at the bottom and all this sort of stuff also. So that's in that sense we can say that it's only partially symbolic in the sense of the solar system represents the different vipas. That much we can say. And that he correlated with the different dimensions also, that the measurements given are approximately equal to those particular inner and outer orbits of the things, that's equal to the people. So that's another confirmation process. Okay. What do you say?
I would say we take different forms in different planets.
No, well, the five different elements combine in different ways, and it's only after they combine that they become elements that we know, like our water, etc. It's not the water element. Combination of five elements. And those make up the universe, the combination of the elements with the other four parts in different proportions produce things that we can use for our daily things.
And which is not really clear in terms of practical understanding with our universe. Can you say that the same thing applies to other topics of
Well, definitely. That's why they have to have acharyas to consolidate the meaning. And the whole Brahma Sutra is there to clarify the meaning because there's so much ambiguity in what is said, what is Brahman, whatever. So therefore they have to use intelligence to interpret the scripture and come up with the meaning of it.
But this is one big gray area.
Hmm?
This is one big gray area, which acharyas have not commented
on. They didn't comment on it, no. In terms of modern understanding, they didn't comment on it. Nor have they actually reconciled this with astronomical data that was present at that time.
Thank you.